Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
The only thing that is being sold to you is adult diapers and hearing aids and things like that. I'm not saying we don't need them.
Walk-in catheters.
Yeah, and that stuff, yeah. that sliding chair
Goes
up the stairs. I want that up the stairs.
Michael and I have discussed
that. But apparently you have to have straight stairs. Because if you take a turn on your
you could put two in.
Yeah, it's much more elaborate.
You go to the
transfer at the top of the stairs, ring a bell like in San Francisco and get on the other line.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
Change at Jamaica.
All righty then. Plausibly live from an undisclosed third floor location in Chevy Chase, Maryland. We're on the air with Gene McManus and Gary Braun and Michael Kornheiser, and Nigel's going to run the board and do the news. Ann Hornaday will join us later. As we are taping, my business partner, Maury Povich, is on television on the Today Show right now. And so Gary said...
Well, why does it say under his name, Maury Povich, more than 25 years in daytime talk? Why does it not say owner of Chad?
Well, this is it. So Gary says, do you think he'll mention Chad's?
No, and Michael actually said, how many times will he mention
Chad's? And Michael says...
I don't even think Maury knows he owns Chad's.
That's right. Right. So, and we will talk about a meeting at Chad's last night later in the show, but we're rooting... We don't have sound on, and we're rooting...
Looks like he's doing great.
Maury looks great.
He does.
And we're rooting for Maury to mention the restaurant, but I don't think he will. In local news, very local news, here's what I've written down. Does anybody remember the movie? I'm sure everybody remembers the movie Broadcast News.
Yeah.
Remember Broadcast News?
Of course.
There's a tremendously great scene in Broadcast News when the character played by Holly Hunter has her eye on the character played by William Hurt. And there is a woman newscaster standing between the availability of that to happen.
Yes.
And then there is a scene in which this woman... who's on television, is suddenly broadcasting from the Arctic Circle. And she is no longer a threat to Holly Hunter, right? We remember that scene. Which leads me to Sheena Parveen and Chuck Bell this morning. As I told you last week, Sheena Parveen will end up in studio, and Chuck Bell will end up in the lonely Storm Team 4x4 on 270
in
a snowstorm. Well, today... Sheena Parveen in studio, and Chuck Bell where? Chuck Bell somewhere freezing downtown and complaining about how cold it is, giving away coats. That was his job. He gave away a warm coat to someone, got a hug.
Nice thing to do.
Yeah, but
free hugs.
On his way out.
He was wrapped in a scarf as big as my living room rug and kind of buried under it.
On his way out.
Well, maybe not out, but definitely not up.
Right. Yeah. And the hashtag is Sheena Nation. That's what Rob Stronach sent me a message this morning with hashtag Sheena Nation. Here's the letter that I've got.
Don't get too attached to her, Tone.
No,
I've been saying.
Right,
she's not here
you
long.
Think she's Today Show bound or something like that.
What's the time frame on it? 2 years?
No.
What's the over under?
I'd say a year.
But what about Dylan on the Today Show?
Dylan Trout. Well,
I didn't say she's going to the Today Show. I just think she's on to bigger and better.
Moving on up to the east side.
Center field of the Yankees.
Deluxe apartment in the sky.
QB for the skins.
From Dr. Jeremy Herman in Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Herman.
My wife and I wanted to repay the many years of entertainment with some goodies. Among the usual items you've requested over the years, you'll find a cutting board made by yours truly. For people watching on News Channel 8,
pretty.
This is
beautiful.
A gorgeous cutting board, and it is hefty. I'm going to pass this along to Gene, who is a resident cook.
It's a checkerboard, looks like a cherry
gorgeous.
Or maybe a mahogany and an oak, like
I
a dark
would not
and a white.
Want to
the
cut
board is
on this.
End grain, better on our knives, and constructed out of hard maple and purple heart. You will not find anything of its ilk in the refugee Safeway or your local IKEA. It will make a perfect complement to Blue Apron for a little or a big. I'll leave it for you to decide. Your show was particularly important to me when I moved here to Fayetteville, Arkansas, to get a PhD in chemical engineering. You all provided comfort during many long and lonely days. I have since transitioned to a professor role and married a wonderful woman who's become a devoted little. Um, he, he, He sent a haiku in and then talks about his embarrassment.
Beautiful penmanship, by the way.
Yeah, and so the moment of truth came, and Nigel and Tony scolded all non-shared members of the audience for emailing in haikus. As I remove my earbuds, the Eastern European woman I share a broom closet-sized office with noticed my bemusement and asked me what was wrong, and I said something like, I got yelled at for writing a haiku. She was interested in American culture, so what followed was a long conversation where I attempted to explain the show and its obsequious listeners. It's ostensibly a sports show, but it's really about his dog Maggie, and that was years back.
Yeah,
obviously, now it's about Chessie. Sometimes they delight in the misfortune of others. Like, say, if you were in a retirement home and you got a rat stuck in your throat. What, you're not getting this? As the conversation wound down, she looked over at me and she said in an uncanny, jumping it accent, "Sportsman didn't read your poem," followed by a cackle loaded with sarcastic delight. I don't think she ever became a little, but she certainly got the tone of the show. So that's really a nice, it's
very
really
nice
letter.
It's
beautiful.
And he sent, you know, he sent midges, and he sent...
What's that? Seasoning?
Cavender's all-purpose Greek seasoning and Triscuits and stuff like that. You may want that.
Yeah.
You may want that. But the cutting board is gorgeous.
I would not cut on that. I would.
What would you do? Put it up on the wall?
No, I would
put it in chads?
Cheese and hors d'oeuvres and things on it. It's just beautiful.
But it's made.
Well, it's
made
presumably
a charcuterie board.
You know.
Yeah. It's, the impression I get is that he knows what he's doing, and it's made with a hardwood that would
cut on. It's so pretty.
Also, Brendan Steenberg.
If you do cut on it, make sure you wash it though, because those things can harbor junk.
Brendan Steenburgen sent some truffles, and he sent some personalized Pro V's that say "Thanks, Tony." And he says, "Thanks for taking the time of your day to be on my lowly podcast. It was a tremendous thrill to talk to you. I'm eternally grateful. Enjoy the chocolates. The very best to you, Michael, and the rest of the show." Michael, can you explain what happened with Brendan and the great fear that everyone has when they ask me to do something?
Well, he had requested an interview with you on his podcast and was very scared that you would give a harsh no. I don't want to reveal how he made this request because I don't want to field many
more
of
them. No, and I'm not doing anybody else's. Just so we know, that was the one I'm going
but
to do.
What I want him to know is when I gave you that message, your face immediately lit up and you said, "Of course, immediately."
Yeah, because...
And you were on the phone 2 hours later doing 15 minutes with him.
I think I did more than 15. Loyalty is a two-way street. I need to be loyal to you if you've been loyal to me. That's the way that works. So, I mean, we are not, and I'm not saying the royal we, no one in this room is not cognizant of the loyalty shown by longtime listeners. I mean, we're out there in uncharted territory with podcasting. We have no idea how this works. And the only way you can make money is through advertising. And the only way really to get advertising is to show that you have a listenership that's loyal and consistent, which is what everybody's been. So I'm very happy for
Speaking of which, Jerry Humphries, thank you for the wine.
That's right. So everybody's good on all of these things. Where am I going now?
Still the open.
No, I understand. I'm just looking at my notes here. I could do some sports.
A lot of stuff.
By the way, and I would say this, and it's based on what happened yesterday when we had Pat Forty on, and it's don't look now, but the best college basketball team in the country is Duke.
Yeah.
Right now, it's Duke. Yeah. Okay, and I don't want to hear this nonsense about Grayson Allen. Oh, Grayson Allen should be suspended for the rest of time. And Grayson Allen is out of his mind, and Grayson Allen is hurting the team. And that's why Mike Krzyzewski took away all of their gear and said they can't, you know, go into the lock. They've just won six in a row. They've beaten four ranked teams, I think, out of the six. They went at UVA last night, which has now lost four of six and is falling catastrophically. And they won that game, and they won it going away, and they won it with a freshman. And this is important. Duke is this year what Kentucky has been in many years and what Kentucky is actually every year. They're a team that's extraordinarily young and loaded with very talented freshmen. And what you don't know is at what point between November and April will these freshmen, if they do at all, come together with themselves and with the remaining people on the team and produce the greatness that you think you could have based sheerly on talent, right?
Right, and if they do, will they stay there?
I mean,
a similar situation. Maryland's team early this year, they seemed to come together very early.
They lost four starters last year.
Right, and they have three freshmen contributing greatly. Those guys came together. They looked awesome early.
Yes.
Then slipped, had a little hiccup, maybe if last night's an indication or getting it back together. But it's all about who's playing the best when. We always talk
Maryland
about this,
won handily last night.
Yeah.
Maryland went to Northwestern, which Michael Wilbon will tell you was the most important basketball game in the history of Northwestern University. Because had Northwestern won that game last night, after going to Wisconsin and beating Wisconsin, if they double up by beating Maryland at home, they're in the NCAAs.
That's right.
They've never been. They're the only Power 5 conference team that has never, ever been to the NCAAs. And they lost last night. And by the way, they lost handily.
Yeah.
We were watching, well, not we. I was not watching this. We were at.
You were watching Hallmark, right?
No, there was a meeting last night.
It was on?
At Chad's.
Oh.
Meeting at Chad's.
Get to that later.
Well, I'm just going to say that Gary was seated with his back to the TV
Gary Williams.
And so I said, Gary, why don't you sit over there and look at the TV? Because Chad's now gets the Big Ten Network. And Gary was physically present and mentally absent from the meeting while he was watching again.
Once the game went on, he didn't say a word.
No, right. he was just concentrating on the, which is what he should
was
be
he
doing.
Like kneeling on the floor and like
no
sort of
not
sweating.
Sweaty.
Was he sweating?
We didn't think he was sweating.
When we were talking about the timeline, he approached it like a basketball game and sort of anointed all of us as his assistant coaches.
You know, I'm going to get to this now because something happened. Something happened last night with Gary that was revelatory to me. We are in this meeting. The following people are at the meeting. I am at the meeting. The socialite is at the meeting. The socialite's brother Ron is at the meeting. Gary is at the meeting. Michael is at the meeting, and Peter Bain and Jeff Driscoll Dawson, who are part of the management group of Tin Shop that are going to run Chad's, you know, are at the meeting, and we're talking about a variety of things. We're talking about construction. We're talking about, you know, renovations that have to take place in the restaurant. We're talking about the sort of look of things, the timeline on building the podcast studio. And Alan's yelling at me, you need to do this now. We need to know how much money this is going to, and just on. And Alan is just yelling at me, and I'm shrugging. And I said, okay, I'll get on it. I mean, I'll ask these questions. And I, of course, look to my son for support. And he says what he says to me all the time. He says, we went over this a month ago and you did nothing. So, right?
I mean, every 6 weeks we have these meetings. And every 6 weeks I tell you, we've already made these decisions.
And I don't.
And of none course, of you remember.
No, none of us remembers. And then we start.
This was my job at the Washington Post for 20 years.
We start to talk
about. What was his excuse when he was 40? I mean, I get it now.
It doesn't have anything to do with age. It does have nothing to do with age.
Attention span?
You know what?
It's bubble. It's the bubble he lives in.
All right, so go ahead.
Yeah.
So
my job is to make people laugh.
That's right.
Okay, the rest of it is not my job. It's just not my job. I don't want to get involved in business decisions because I don't understand anything that's going on around me. Anyone who's been around me in any sort of meeting other than about me understands I have no idea what they're talking about.
But every meeting becomes about you.
Well, this one didn't. So now we're talking about a name, and we've worked very hard, and by we, I've worked very hard at trying to come up with a whole lot of names. I've got 20 names that I think are good. And there's a need to change the name. Well, this is just true. There's a need to change the name that we all accept. And we've gone back and forth, and a lot of people have introduced names that are dreadful. They don't understand how dreadful
they
are.
Give me some of the worst.
I just can't.
Oh, you don't want to name
names? Because,
okay.
No, I can't. Right. But some of mine are apparently not that good. Like business class, which I thought was really good.
No, it's not.
Nobody liked it. Yeah. You know, or whatever.
Salmonella.
Deadline. Well, no, deadline doesn't work in a restaurant.
No.
You don't have the word dead. You have the word dead in a restaurant. It doesn't work.
Not yet.
Even though everybody thought, well, that'd be good because, you know, you worked at a newspaper and Shirley worked at a news. Yeah, deadline doesn't work. Okay.
Shinebox.
So, Shinebox, still good. Not going to be Shinebox. And my favorite has always been the old bag and sheep. And nobody wants this. Or the angry cow.
Right.
And nobody wants this. People are stupid. They don't understand how good these names are. Anyway. At some point, we're doing the same, as Michael would say, the same dance that we've done for quite some time. And then Gary, the part of Gary, the coaching DNA. I'll tell you this about Gary when you're playing golf. You know, he may not be good on the front, but if he's within one on the back, he's going to actually win.
A little competitive, is he?
Yeah.
So the DNA part in Gary Williams comes out, and he looks at me and Alan, because we're across from him, and he says, we've got to have a new name. We've got to have it by next Sunday. That's it. Get the name by next Sunday. That was it. That was all Gary said for about an hour.
I would sit up and pay attention.
I did.
Yeah.
Sure. I did, and I just said, okay, I'm in the presence of a coach.
Yeah.
That's what happened. Am I right on that?
100% correct.
It was like that was the revelatory moment for me where I said, you know what? We're going to have a name. And we actually did come up with a name last night, within 20 seconds, a name that everybody finds acceptable, not necessarily great. It doesn't mean it's going to be the name. Not going to talk about it now. But it was Gary's. Gary said, all right, we've had enough. Now we're coming out of the timeout, and this is what we're going to do. And, you know, that's not Alan. That's not me. It's not Michael. That's not – no, that's the DNA of Gary Williams all those years that he's – that's who he is. He's a coach, and when he – you're a leader. You know, you're the lieutenant. You're the captain. You're the commander, whatever it is. I mean
– I am the captain now.
That's it, and that's what he was.
So are these – there are many – there's a lot of – social dynamics at work here, many different friendships.
By the way,
friendships.
I had very bad white wine last night.
Oh.
Why am I ordering white wine? Why exactly? Weird.
Well, it's February.
Yeah.
Are these, are all of these friendships going to survive this business? Oh,
absolutely.
Okay.
No, I hope
when
so.
When I say absolutely, I mean I hope.
You said it very confidently.
I know, but that doesn't mean I mean a word of that.
Okay.
No, I don't know. I don't know because I'm going to be found out for who I am. I'm a slacker. I mean, I'm very good. I'm very task-oriented. I will make a list at the beginning of the day. I will accomplish every one of those things, one right after another. And when I'm done, I'm done. But I don't, I mean, I'm not good conceptually. I'm not good at, you have to tell me exactly what to do.
Well, they just need to, I mean, you clearly understand your limitations.
I do.
They need to understand them. And when you guys
need to understand their own limitations.
You need to understand each other's strengths and weaknesses and do the things that you can do and let the other ones do what they can do.
Here's what I can do. I can broadcast from a podcast studio.
Or narrowcast.
And I can complain. And those are the two things I do really well.
There's not a lot.
Don't ask me to join in on the business plan, or don't say, here's a project Tony would be good for. No, Tony would not be good for this project, no matter what it is.
It seems to me there's not a lot of middle management experience in that group. There's a lot of top-level management experience.
A lot of alphas. Well, sounds like
there's
one alpha.
Well, we're going to have a Nats podcast. I mean,
oh,
you know,
good.
We're going to, you know, it's just that Alan was just... throwing, oh God! Here's the socialite. What can I say?
Yeah,
he's overrating my abilities. He should. You know what? Ronnie should do everything. Ronnie's organized. Ronnie sees the levels. Ronnie understands business.
He's the only focused one at these meetings.
So to make him the mayor, you know,
I'm not.
The socialite is a part-time DC resident now. He's going to go to Florida for the next month.
Oh, yeah,
Gary's wherever Gary is.
Gary's watching the game.
Yeah,
and I'm just trying to be funny and amusing. That's
well,
all
what
I do.
What I will be very interested to see from you is, and from all of them for that matter, is can you, once it's sort of up, can you guys get out of the way? Or will it be like micromanaged from the top down times four?
I don't know. Which is a bad formula.
No.
All I want to do is fire
them.
No? Okay.
I just want to fire somebody
and then
leave me alone. I had fun and now I'm going away. But my checks are good. I mean, I'm willing. I'm a total willing.
Yeah,
partner.
You know what? I take. I don't have any question about whether you'll be. You're going to be there every day. There's no way you can be out of the
you're
way.
You're going to want to punish and reward. You're going to want to buy a few people drinks, and you're going to fire a few people. That's what you want to do.
Hopefully, the same people all the time.
Yeah,
and it gets repetitive, like Groundhog Day. It'll be fun. Let's get out of here. When we come back, Ann Hornaday will join us, and we're going to talk about the movie The Great Wall with Matt Damon. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
You know, apropos of the cutting board that was so lovingly made, and is so lovely, and probably so good, and the mention of Blue Apron in the letter, we'll do the Blue Apron read right now. Blue Apron, as you know, is something I've enjoyed doing. I will do it again. I'm in hiatus from Blue Apron at the moment. But you can do the same thing. You're not locked into anything. Let me get to the points of this and you'll see what I mean. Blue Apron is affordable. For less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. There's variety. You can choose from a variety of new recipes each week or let Blue Apron's culinary team surprise you. Recipes are not repeated within a year. You'll never get bored. It's flexible. This is what I was getting at. You can customize your recipes each week based on your preferences. Blue Apron has several delivery options. You can choose what fits your needs. There's no weekly commitment. You only get deliveries when you want them. It's easy. Each meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card and pre-portioned ingredients and can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. And it's guaranteed. Blue Apron's freshness guarantee promises that every ingredient in your delivery arrives ready to cook or they'll make it right. it always does require chopping. It always does require a cutting board. It would be swell to use this. Yeah. This is a checkerboard. It's just beautiful.
It is beautiful.
And it is hefty. It's got to weigh 10 pounds.
Right.
It's really nice. And I could see being very prideful in arranging the ingredients and preparing the ingredients for Blue Apron. Check out this week's menu and get the first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/TonyK. You will love how good it feels and tastes. This is true copy. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/TonyK. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
What's it sound like, Tone?
Just sounds like the beginning of any sort of nice string guitar lead-in, Graham Nash kind of song.
Yeah.
Something like that. Let's hear some lyrics. Are there lyrics to this, Nigel?
Yes, there are.
I turned the lights down, sat down upon the bed, put my headphones on, quiet that voice.
The talent level is stunning. This is Jake Lauffer in Santa Monica, California.
Lauffer.
Though I live in L.A. and grew up in Philly, I've been a fan of the TK show in its various forms for literally decades, thanks to a long stint in the D.C. area earlier this millennium. I moved out west a few years back to pursue every artist's dream, producing unscripted TV shows on basic cable. And through all my travels, I've taken your podcast with me. It's been a great source of information, entertainment, and a feeling of home. Hope you like the music. If folks want to hear more, you can find me on iTunes, Spotify, CD Baby, etc. Look up Jake Lauffer, L-A-U-F-E-R, on Facebook, or check out my website, jakelauffermusic.com. As I still have around 600 more physical copies of my CD than I need on hand, I'd like to make an exclusive offer to your listeners. Buy three CDs, get 147 free. just say Tony sent you or enter the promo code Tony K. And thanks to Nigel's hard work, at the end of shows now, you can hear the full run of the music that we play, however briefly now, right?
Yep, that's right.
So that's really good. You don't have to listen to it if you don't want to, but it was Bill Isaacson's idea and it was Nigel's execution, and that was very lovely.
It is interrupting the way that the podcast app automatically uploads the next show for some.
That's true.
That's just something to keep in mind.
What does that mean?
It means that a lot of people liked that they could queue up four or five shows in a row. It would automatically go to the next. Now it's not doing that.
I'm sorry. Is there a way out of this?
You could take the music off.
There must be some kind of way out of here, said the Joker to the bee. Really? I could take the music off?
It's just something to keep in mind. You have to weigh the pros and cons.
All right. Ann Hornaday joins
that
us
is
now.
A little bit of a
I'm sorry you had to hear all that, Ann. I
loved it. I loved it. Beautiful music.
Do you have any thoughts on, not the music, but on how to handle it?
On a workaround?
Yeah. The logistics of it all?
I think a workaround.
So in other words, what happens is people just need to go in and press the next one, right? It doesn't automatically.
Right. Correct.
So we're asking people to actually press something?
I think it's worth it.
I don't know. I think it behooves us to make it easy for them to get the next
true.
One.
That's true. The customer's always right.
Mm. Okay.
Right. Okay, let me continue to think on this.
Okay, good. Right. So we have a couple of movies this week, and then I'm told that you want to talk about the way Hollywood deals with China, so we'll make some time.
Yeah.
Or as we like to say, China.
I can't master that yet.
Speaking of China, the first movie you're going to talk about is The Great Wall with Matt Damon. I know nothing about this movie other than I've seen the same 30-second advertisement on TV that everybody has seen with the dragons and stuff that doesn't seem...
Lots of dragons.
Seems extra worldly and not this worldly. And my question is, I think the question that any reasonable person would have who knows the career of Matt Damon and is really admiring of Matt Damon,
mm-hmm.
you go, why is he doing this?
Exactly.
Why is he doing this? So why don't you tell us what it is and maybe you can answer that question.
I'll try. And I think it's fascinating. And I think this movie is a fascinating sort of lens onto a lot of issues that are coming into play, especially this year, regarding China. Because in the last few years, they have been building movie theaters at a galloping rate. They are very interested in getting into the movie business in terms of financing films, financing Hollywood films. and also growing their own indigenous film industry. Of course, this is all government controlled. And because of these burgeoning theaters and because it's such an enormous market, Hollywood is...
You mean like there's a Cineplex in downtown Shanghai?
Oh, yeah. Not only that, but now they've already built out their first and second tier markets. Now they're into their third tier, you know, which in China are just millions and millions of people. You know, like a third tier market in China is like equal to a first tier market in terms of population.
Do the Chinese government, which controls all arts, I would assume, mm-hmm. do they allow the people in China to see all the kinds of movies that we see here?
Not at all.
I wouldn't
think.
No, and
this is all subject to a trade agreement brokered through the WTO, that they allow 34 non-Chinese movies in a year. And then I think they can allow more in at their discretion.
I assume there are some Adam Sandler movies take up about 10 or 12 of those.
Yeah, and what happens is, you know, they are subject to review, and so they have to kind of, you know, they're either produced with an eye toward the China market, i.e. not offending the China market, and this is where Matt Damon comes in, because you noticed in The Martian, who saves the day? The Chinese space program. Remember?
Are you saying that they were considering this that far out, that
Absolutely.
Was part of politics?
I think savvy
really?
Filmmakers and savvy studios now with an eye toward that market and make, you know, even though they're only allowed to get 25% of the box office. But again, in a market that huge, that accounts for a lot of money.
Are you implying that Damon is a sellout?
They're leaving money on the table if their movie doesn't open there. So some filmmakers and some studios do have an eye toward placating them and kind of pleasing them. And so it doesn't hurt when your hero is Chinese. It doesn't hurt, and certainly you don't want your villain to be Chinese anymore.
Was Michael Flynn involved in this? Was he over there talking to the Chinese?
But are you saying that Matt Damon is a sellout?
No, I'm saying Matt Damon is shrewd. And it's like, and this is also, and I just want to add one more thing about the movies that do not play there. Ghostbusters couldn't play there because they have very deep cultural issues around the occult and the, you know, which is interesting because they do allow monsters like the ones in this movie in, but they don't like ghosts. They don't like supernatural superstition. They also, by the way, Spotlight didn't open there, of course, because that champions a free press that's questioning authority and looking into corruption. Selma didn't play there. Why?
Wow.
Because it's, you know, so I think that's almost more insidious than the hero, you know, trying to make your
the
China,
social
you know.
Network would never play there.
Right. I have to check into that. It probably didn't. So it's interesting the way this is conditioning what gets, you know, what people are, and, you know, like at one point, I think they wanted some changes. They were objecting to some of the imagery and some of the messages in Captain Phillips. And some studios will not back down, and they'll say, nope, sorry, you know, we're not going to change it. But others are willing to play ball. So
does this mean that Matt Damon is to China what Yao Ming was to the NBA?
Well, you know, I think this is by far the most, you know, now they're getting more and more into co-productions with American companies. And in this case, it's Legendary Pictures. And this is the biggest co-production yet, between Chinese companies, quote unquote, because they're all pretty much state owned or at least state controlled, and American studios. And so I think I don't look at it cynically. I think it's, you know, obviously, look, it's a huge part of the world. They love entertainment, and it would be stupid not to acknowledge them and try to do something creative there. And so I think I don't call Matt Damon a sellout. I just think he's on the forward leading edge of artists who are looking at that and trying to be creative with it. And I think, again, this was the most high profile, most high budget. It's directed by Zhang Yimou, who's like the premier, you know, a really revered Chinese director. And so I think for China, this was, and by the way, speaking of China and our new president, his whole mess, you know, like, they're renegotiating all of these agreements this year by contract. I mean, by law, they have to renegotiate the agreement that allows American movies to play there. And so considering his mixed messages on China recently and what's been going on with his trademark there and stuff, it's just a very interesting, volatile time.
For
this for this movie to be, you know, kind of arriving on the scene.
I Googled this when Ann mentioned it. I'm looking at a Wall Street Journal article from November, which said Chinese screens are being built at a pace of 27 a day.
Exactly.
And as of November, we're set to surpass, at that time, they were a couple hundred or about 1,000 screens behind the U.S. They've surpassed them. The U.S. has, I guess, like 41.
Are they building screens. Like West End but, cinemas to hold
but
really terrible
listen to this,
films,
Tony, and I don't know, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, and I don't know if you know, but I would assume the number is nothing like this here. It says in China, the box office receipts have grown 34%
over
the past 5 years,
and
which is huge, and I'm sure it's like flat here, right?
And they're flat. Yeah. And so they're in a position to outpace. Their box office will outpace ours either this year or next year. I think that's a given. And this movie opened there in, I think, November or December, and has already done pretty well. Okay, this gets to the quality of the movie, which unfortunately isn't very good. It's kind of cheesy, and it's very monotonous, and I don't know where Matt Damon, his accent is coming from, but it's no, I just don't know. I don't know. So I don't think it's done. I don't think it'll do very well here, and so it'll...
Who cares if a billion people in China throw money down to watch it?
Well, but then you get into issues of national and cultural pride, and I think it means a lot for China to have a huge... not only commercial success, but an artistic one. Like they want, and that's where Matt Damon comes in too. I mean, it means a lot to them to have prestige actors and prestige directors and some prestige, you know, critical acclaim. And that does count. I mean, money's great. I mean, make no mistake. I think that's always going to be number one. But that, you know, it matters. You know, like the national, you know, it's all about national pride with them. I mean, this whole movie is about national pride. I mean, this movie, when they cast Damon, everybody was saying, oh, he's going to be a typical white savior. Not at all. I mean, he's a mercenary who is sort of schooled by his Chinese betters in terms of integrity and courage and, you know, moral rectitude. So they're all about national pride and cultural chauvinism. And it matters a lot to them for one of their movies to do really well here.
So does this movie, is this just opening in the States now?
Correct. It's just opening now.
So according to IMDb,
it's been open there.
This movie.
It's already been there. Yeah, it's opened there for a couple of months.
This movie with a $150 million budget.
Mm-hmm.
As of January 22nd, almost a month ago, 3.5 weeks ago, had already done over $200 million worldwide. And it hadn't even opened here yet.
Exactly. But, you know, I mean...
Can I ask a sort of obvious moral question here?
Yeah.
This is a repressive government. This is a government that does not allow, even in making these wonderful Chinese movies, does not allow its citizenry free access to the internet or even free thought. Is there going to be any backlash to the people in Hollywood who are our most progressive and liberal people that it looks like they're just doing this for money and that they're helping keep a government alive that is repressive? Or am I getting too over the top here?
No, I don't think you are at all. I mean, these are the questions that I'm entertaining myself. It's like, where do you draw the line? And where, it's like, where do you, you know, to his credit, I've been talking to sort of people who are really, really, you can get in the weeds so fast with all of this because there are just so many issues. But when I speak with people who are really familiar with it, you know, one person who's never backed down is Harvey Weinstein. I mean, he's never, ever cut a film to please Chinese audiences, and I don't think, or Chinese censors, and I don't think Quentin Tarantino to this day hasn't had a movie open there. You know, and so it does come down to artistic integrity and sort of what you're willing to give up in order to preserve your vision. And
it's like Home for Purim.
And let me put it this way.
Exactly.
Great. You remember in Home for Purim?
Home for Purim.
Yeah, that's what it, you know. And suddenly, suddenly it appears as Thanksgiving with the Millers.
Oh, my God. I love that movie so much. Yeah. It does come down to that. And it's like, look, I'm not craving a lot of Chinese villains because goodness knows Hollywood has trafficked in images of yellow peril.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, I don't mourn the loss of that. But when you get into kind of issues of, like, the hero has to be Chinese, you know, like, every Chinese person has to be super heroic and a paragon of virtue, then it's kind of like, I don't know about that. It's everything's shades of gray here.
Well,
like,
it ruins the first James Bond movie with Odd Job. I mean, that can't play in China. And Oddjob's one of the greatest villains of all time.
Absolutely.
Great screen villain.
Right, and I think, I need to look back in my notes, but I'm pretty sure the Spectre movie was subject to Chinese negotiation.
Do they rewrite the movie?
I think they'll, you know, I don't know if they literally rewrite the movie. I don't know. Like, it depends on at what stage they get involved. And again, this is where the co-productions are interesting, because it's like, if it's a Chinese-U.S. co-production, that's going to be baked in.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
If it's a production that's trying to get into the market as an American production, then it might be subject to cuts. You know, so it's all very...
The movie is not very good.
This one is not... one is just... It's very kind of... It's like a B-movie. You know, it's a B-monster movie with lots of, you know, goofy-looking monsters and swords. I mean, there's some very impressive action scenes, but... it's the wooden dialogue and the kind of starchy performances, and there's really nothing. It's a lot of CGI. It's very much from that kind of Lord of the Rings, Game of Thronesy, you know, fantasy, orky action stuff, which you can tell I'm not a huge fan of.
I can tell. Now, this was interesting.
You can tell when my voice goes.
Yeah, very.
It's sort of interesting. Thank you, Anne.
Well, it's always a pleasure.
Anne Hornaday, boys and girls. It's interesting.
I didn't
have my usual ability
to
say
fascinating.
I wouldn't see this movie no matter what, and it's just a hen show, which is what I usually say. And I didn't do that. I was very good.
A hen show?
Did I say that? I can't believe I said that. The Hallmark Channel, I need to talk
the
about this even more.
The hammer is coming down.
All right, we will take a break. We will come back with news. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Postage rates have gone up again. That means trips to the post office are an even bigger hassle. It is so crowded. But thanks to Stamps.com, you don't have to worry about it. Just use Stamps.com to automatically calculate and print the correct amount of postage for every letter or package you send. Stamps.com brings all the services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your fingertips. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail using your own computer and printer. They'll send you a digital scale, which automatically calculates the exact postage. Stamps.com will even help you decide the best class of mail based on your needs. And Stamps.com saves you money. They give you postage discounts you can't get at the post office, including 3 cents off every first-class stamp. Wow. Anything you can do at the post office, you can now do from your desk. You will never have to go to the post office again. And right now, if you use my code TONYK, you get this special offer. You get a 4-week trial, and that includes postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and then type in TONYK. That is stamps.com. Enter TONYK and sign up today. With stamps.com, you will never have to go to the post office again.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Brian in Silver Spring, the singer to whom I'm related by band, I like that phrase, asked me to send you this song he wrote about the Wizards. When I told him about your new podcast and how you played listeners' music, he said we should send in our song about the Wizards. We have a song about the Wizards, I asked. I had no idea. In my defense, all his songs are melancholy, broken heart stuff. How was I supposed to know one of them wasn't about a girl? Our band's name is Clone of Clones. The song is To Fall. P.S. I always thought it'd be nice to go to a bar called The Gym. People would, I think, have a healthy lifestyle. Okay, so I don't want to get too sidetracked here, but healthy lifestyle, this is, last night I was wandering the rows of Chad's when I was stopped by somebody who said, are you going to have many gluten-free items on your new menu? And I pondered that for a second, and I, you know, didn't think we'd have many because I didn't think we'd have any, you know. Because I didn't, I mean, I wanted...
I could see this snow shovel, a balloon, hovering over your head.
Well, how do you feel about gluten-free? You're a cook.
I feel that many people who think they are gluten-free are self-diagnosed.
I have a certain regular diner who comes every year to our house and is presented with a beautiful plate of sandwiches and turns to me and says, isn't there anything gluten-free? To which I say,
yeah, look in the middle,
take
toots.
The bread away.
Right.
And eat the, like, you know, Virginia ham and the Swiss cheese.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, I don't mean to sound intolerant, but of course I am intolerant.
Well, let me just take the other side here.
I got gluten-free in my house. It's called dog food.
I will say.
go to the place where we keep Chessie's food and stick your face in it.
Yeah.
As much as you want, you can have.
From a business standpoint, it would behoove you to have a couple of gluten-free options.
Of course. Vegetarian
and
items.
And you know what? They probably.
I told you Gary's reaction to vegetarian. There's the notion of vegetarian chili. Gary's reaction was, this is what has ruined America.
Right.
Which I thought was a little bit over the
there
top.
There probably are veggie burger items made that in-house. Are gluten-free on your menu
sure.
now. Just put,
and put
a little symbol next to it.
Put a little star
exactly.
or a big G. Or a G with an X through it,
right.
Like a ghost, the Ghostbusters thing.
Yeah.
And instead of ghost, it'll be gluten.
There will also be gluten-free buns.
So there you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Okay.
But I mean, you know, you stop me, I'm in the hallway, and it's my job to walk around and schmooze people. I understand that. This is not a problem for me. But you, everyone's request is so
sounds like it is a problem.
Specific to them. Okay, you know, and I'm not... I could lie and say yes to everything. I should do that. Sure. Absolutely,
that's
my dear.
That's a great
idea. That's what we're going to do. You know what? Wait, I'm going to do that right now. Thank you.
You say,
just turn
that's
away.
A great idea. We'll work on that?
Yeah, that's what I should say. I don't ever say that, though.
Take it into consideration.
You're incapable of saying
I'm
that.
I'm not. Yeah, I'm not. Okay.
I would like to point out that this newscast is entirely gluten-free, so hopefully people enjoy that.
I hope so.
The NCAA tournament, just a few weeks away, Selection Sunday, I believe on...
Aren't we going to have a big Selection Sunday pop-up podcast with Gary Williams?
You heard it here first.
Yes.
Yes, Sunday, March 12th.
I'll be out of town.
Oh. Well,
no,
be
I'm kidding. Of course I'll...
Doing it from the
kind
road.
Of kidding.
Yeah.
One thing that will not be happening at the NCAA tournament this year is a bracket from the president.
No,
of
he's
the
not
United
going to
States.
Do it. Well, he's not the president. The new president is not going to do it.
Yes, they are.
He's not going to do
it. It becomes somewhat of a tradition with President Obama. He would fill out the women's brackets
if you mean,
and the men's.
If you mean a tradition that he did it every year, yes,
yes.
He did.
And the network ESPN reached out to President Trump and said,
yes.
Would you like to do
and
it?
And apparently declined.
Respectfully declined, I
so,
guess.
So, Gary, your thoughts are...
Well, my immediate thought was that it's because he cannot admit that he's
wrong,
and you would have to do that if you're going to do a bracket.
Yeah,
and you have to
wrong.
Be... You can't take yourself too seriously. And he doesn't want to... He doesn't want people to be able to wave the bracket in his face and say, look, wrong again.
Yeah.
But he'll probably do one in the White House, and it'll leak out.
He is he's certainly a sports fan. I don't know if he's a college basketball fan, but he's a sports fan. He owned a team in the USFL. At
yes,
one
he
point.
Did.
So, the Jersey Generals, right?
He knows sports. He knows sports. Of course he does. He's a good golfer.
Staying with President Trump, one of his people in his administration, Omarosa Manigault.
Who is this woman?
She was from the first season of The Apprentice.
Why is she in the newspaper every single day?
Well,
who is
she's a reality TV person.
She's his black friend.
I thought that was Carson.
So she was on The Apprentice a number of years ago.
Johnny Carson?
Ben.
Oh, okay.
She was on The Apprentice a number of years ago and gained notoriety.
I never watched The Apprentice.
It wasn't your show.
Well, you were the only one.
I mean,
because it was the number one rated show in the history of the earth.
I didn't watch it. I mean, I understood the catchphrase you fired, and I thought it was great. I thought it was a great gimmick. I just didn't watch the show, that's all.
She became famous for sort of really playing the games within games well
right.
on that show. I was not a viewer of that
bit
show
of a
as
saboteur.
Well. Yeah. But
she's in the news now. She's in
she's
having a fight with a credentialed reporter about something?
Yes, there was a reporter named April Ryan who
I don't know her.
Who works longtime White House correspondent who works with the American Urban Radio Networks, and Omarosa apparently got in her face to the point where Miss Ryan felt like it was going to become a physical confrontation.
Mm. That's not
like the Secret Service needed to step in. This is just
good.
In, you know, outside the Oval Office, apparently. And during this confrontation, Omarosa said, you know, we've got files and dossiers on a lot of you people. We're keeping track of you. Yes. Yeah, so, you know, meaning
yeah.
you know.
Obviously
it's a very,
meaning the Jews.
I believe it just meant journalists.
Oh.
And this is sort of, you know, harkening back to your President Nixon, who kept files and dossiers on people, didn't he?
I guess. Who cares?
Well, that's what it's next. She was also together.
You know, when you say he keeps files
and
dossiers,
imagine
do you know that when you use your phone, like if you just use your cell phone right now, 87 companies have more stuff on you than you can believe. Everything that we do, is public and stored somewhere in this dopey cloud.
And by the
cloud.
Way, I would imagine my President Obama had dossiers
of course
and files on people. I would hope
of course
that he
did.
But I think the idea is that they're gathering negative information so that they can, you know, strong-arm you. You're not going to run that story.
Positive information?
Stop.
By the way, Omarosa also was seeing Michael Duncan Clark or Michael Clark Duncan.
They were married.
Yeah. Yes.
Dead Man Walking.
Yes, and I was with him when he had the heart attack.
Yeah, no, they were married.
So there you go. Yarmir Yager back in the... And the headlines.
Yarmir
he scores
Yager.
His 1900. I'm sorry, assist number 1900.
This is, and I want to use this word very carefully. This is amazing. Yarmir Yager, the only team he wasn't good for was the Washington Capitals.
Exactly. It's
so true. Yarmir Yager was in Washington, what it seems like 20 years ago.
I bet
ago.
You it was yeah. close to
it
that.
It seems so long ago that Yarmir Yager was in Washington. And I know this. Because I wrote a column urging Ted Leonsis to sign him. I got that as wrong as you can get anything in the world. Yarmir Yager stunk in Washington, was not worth the money, was not the superstar, is nowhere near as valuable to Washington.
2001 through 04.
Okay, is nowhere near as valuable as Alexander Ovechkin has become. Nowhere near. Okay. But Yarmir Yager is still playing. He's the Florida Panthers' third leading scorer, which means he's earning money. I mean, he's not a ceremonial guy. He's a really good player. He's 45. In the history of hockey, there have been only two other skaters who have played at 45. Gordie Howe, one of the greatest players of all time, and Chris Chelios. They're both in the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. And Yarmir Yager is going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, of course.
Yarmir Yager's first game in the NHL was in, take a shot.
Oh, well, I'm looking at his stats.
90.
So, yeah.
What year is this?
2017.
1990 was his first game in the NHL. Not in the EHL or the AHL or the KHL.
Or the Czech League.
No. He was in the NHL in 1990. He is still productive.
So, Tony.
And the only place he wasn't any good.
1990 for the Pittsburgh Penguins as a rookie. 27 goals and 30 assists. Last year at 44 for the Florida Panthers, 27 goals, 39 assists.
He's right. He's amazing.
It's unbelievable. Is
the you know everybody has one place where it doesn't work, and that this was his. This was his.
Well, we hope that
he's the number two all-time scorer, isn't he?
Yeah, he's behind Mr. Gretzky.
Well, nobody's ever catching Gretzky.
Right.
No, Gretzky's. That's why he's the great one, not the good one. He's the great one.
DC United. Looks like they have the...
How are they doing? Is their season started yet?
I think it's been going on for 12,
sure
14 months. I'm not sure.
Endless loop.
They've
DC United.
Looks like the new stadium, which is going to be at the Buzzard Point venue. Look, they've got a new sponsor for it. And
raise
it
your
be...
hand if you're going there. What? There are no hands
it's
up.
It's not that far from the baseball.
I'm not going. Okay,
no,
but
I'm not
going.
It's not that far.
I may make an appearance.
20,000 people.
It's the, it's the right size.
Yes. Yes, because I actually did go to a couple of United
You're
matches
rattling
at RFK.
Around there.
The whole stadium's empty.
Yeah,
I mean, it just looks awful.
Did I read the largest naming rights deal in the league?
Yeah.
Audi
yeah.
is going to be the naming rights for the stadium.
What do we think of that?
Great.
I mean, Audi's,
an awesome
for them. Audi's a pretty high-quality product.
500,000 square feet of retail and residential as well. They're doing one of those, sort of like that thing that, what's-his-name's talking about doing out in Los Angeles?
Stan Kroenke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, on a much smaller scale.
Why don't
scale.
They just put it in White Flint? Is anything happening in White
Flint? No.
Is anything happening in White Flint other than Lord and Taylor proudly serving the community?
The Untied kick off their season March 4th against Sporting KC. You asked about
March 4th. So it's coming up soon.
Yep.
Yes.
So they're probably in training, their training camp, probably.
Yes.
Where is that?
Somewhere in the United States.
You sure?
No.
Might not be.
I'm not sure.
Might not be.
Not sure.
Might be in the Bavarian Highlands.
It could be.
Abu
where
Dhabi.
Audi's
it could
made.
Be. They hope to open this new
Audi stadium.
Do you know
what's
Audi
true about
stadium? Audi? What's that?
The paint job on an Audi is spectacular.
Really?
The paint for years and years and years still looks liquid when you look at it. The paint... If Volkswagen and Audi are the same company, right? Mm-hmm. They have the best colors. They have the best paint. They're spectacular. I've never owned an Audi.
I was going to say.
I'm not plugging for an Audi. It's not the M1 driver.
Send them an Audi,
I'm not doing that.
Just send them to the mailbox.
Oh, just
you know.
Wilbon got an Audi.
I got
day.
The M1 driver. driver.
Oh, you did?
I did. They came through.
How about
I complained.
That? Well,
and then I got a little note that said, whoops. And from Tyler Brett, who's, I guess, in charge of worldwide production and stuff like that. And I got the M1. And the weather's supposed to be nice on Saturday. And I'm going to take the M1 out. And I'm going to see if I can hit it.
What are the specs?
I don't know what that means.
What's the shaft?
I don't know.
Okay. Loft?
I don't know. I have loft. which is a joke, which I can't repeat here. But I will. I'll bring it to you. You can look at it.
I'll set it up for you.
Yeah, set it up. That you know, to give me that high.
So how will that work? You just watch him hit it a little bit on the range, and then you can adjust, dial it in.
I'd like to see
watches
it.
Me hit ground ball after ground ball off a tee.
I'll see it on the golf course to see how you're actually going to play with it on the golf course,
and then you can adjust.
Because the driver I've been using for the last 5 years is also tailor made.
Can I have that one? I mean, you don't need two.
No,
it's old technology.
So Gary, kind of.
One final story for us, and I'm sorry, I could not find an appropriate Florida Man Friday story for us.
It's Thursday.
Well, it's true, it is Thursday, but this is our virtual Friday.
Yes, we're going to take tomorrow off.
Yes.
I'm going to be sick again.
Yes.
I'm going to try and be sick as many Fridays as
possible.
It's all that gluten you've been eating. I think it's getting to you.
Yeah.
This incident happened last weekend at the Austin Bergstrom International Airport.
Where's that?
In Austin, I believe.
Austin, Texas?
Yes.
Everybody likes Austin, Texas.
Everybody says it's very lovely.
Everybody likes Austin, Texas.
Have you ever been there?
I have not. It's University of Texas. I've not. Lance Armstrong lives in Austin,
good
Texas.
Good music scene.
Everything you hear about it's a limits. Lovely place.
I have some relatives who live in Austin. And my dear friend from many, many years ago, Mike Litwin, his daughter Angie, I believe, is a law professor at the University of Texas.
There
she
you go.
Lives in Austin, I believe.
Well, as people were on board a United Airlines flight.
Oh, I don't know.
Yes, this is going to get because you like to meet the pilots and, you know, you have your procedure with the talismans.
I don't like to. I need to.
Well, as people were sitting in their seats.
Talismans and amulets. That's not a bad name.
We talked about that. Talismans and amulets.
TNA is dangerous.
Better name for an album. Better name for an album than a restaurant.
Talismans and amulets.
So
how about amulets and talismans?
Didn't Rod Stewart do a song called Talismans and Amulets?
Yeah. Handbags and Glad Rags.
Oh, yeah.
So while people were sitting in the seats, they saw somebody come in. It turns out it was the pilot, but she was dressed in casual clothes, the baseball hat and just regular clothes.
Chill. Casual Friday.
Appeared to be going back and forth with some, you know, the other officials on the plane, the flight attendants and the other pilots. And at first people thought she was just a first class passenger complaining. Then she grabs the mic and she says, hey, you know, can we take a vote? Do I really need to wear my uniform for this? And people thought it was kind of cute and folksy.
I wouldn't like this.
No.
I'd be off that
plane. They gave her a pass. And then she said on the mic, and listen, I'm sorry I'm late. I'm going through a divorce. And then
you cannot be at the wheel.
Wait.
You can't.
And then in front of the cockpit, the pilot kept talking over the intercom. And at one point, she just pointed out to two people in like the front row, one black, one white, and said, oh, look, we've got black and white people on the plane. Isn't that great? It's unity. And everyone's
and
like,
ivory.
What's going on here? What's going on here?
Didn't she also refer to
have they taken off yet?
Trump and Clinton as a-holes?
Yes,
and
she said that. Yeah, they said both Trump and Clinton were terrible, you know, expletive deleted, and, you know, we're all screwed, you know, something like that. So then people on the plane started to get incredibly nervous. The plane had not even taxied out yet. So people
can't have this.
People are like tweeting out.
Yeah, people are tweeting out.
I'm not tweeting out. I'm getting off. I'm saying
are doing that
see
too.
See you. I'm leaving.
So she goes, so I'll stop and we'll fly the airplane. Don't worry. I'm going to let my co-pilot fly it. He's a man. At which point people are like, okay.
He's a man.
He's a man, baby.
And she said, okay, if you don't feel safe, get off the airplane. But otherwise, we can go. Then a flight attendant said, disarm the doors. And 50 people fled off, some of them crying, some of them shaking.
You can't have this.
Yes, and then they...
What airline is this?
This is United Airlines.
Very bad. Very bad.
Some of the tweets,
I like United.
People were like, I'm on a United flight, and I think the pilot is losing it.
Yeah,
I mean, they were like...
Yeah, they said she was just unstable, so...
Can't have so-called that. Pilot, I should say.
Yeah, so...
Fake news.
There you go.
Wow. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, I think we'll do Old Guy Radio. I have absolutely nothing to talk about. Which is
stay tuned.
Usually when I'm at my best, so I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here's a SeatGeek ad. Buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time. It's always been hard to find the best deal for that game or show you want to go to. And none of those older ticket sites want to change that. But SeatGeek is different. They've come along and created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. SeatGeek does all the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best possible deal. SeatGeek does all the work. You save time and money. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You will immediately see any underpriced seats, and you will be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Best of all, listeners to this high-quality podcast get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, one, you download the SeatGeek app, SeatGeek. Two, you go to the Settings tab, and you click Add a Promo Code. And then when it asks you what promo code you want to add, step three, you enter the promo code Tony, T-O-N-Y. And step four, you sit back and you relax because SeatGeek will send you $20 after you have made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code Tony today.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Thank you very much. We would like to sing a song now which was a record for us, and it was our first hit in England. And this is...
That was me.
In England, way back in England. And this song...
That's Paul.
...was released in America. It didn't do anything. It was released later again. And,
Got enough, Bono. You know? Get to the music.
So, yeah. This, yeah, it is. So we'd like to play for you now.
This is in Washington, D.C.
Yep. Please, please me.
And this is Old Guy Radio for the day, obviously. 53 years ago today, this song was number one in the United States of America. On any list of the top 10 Beatles songs of all time, this is on the list. The spirit of this is in terms of critical commentary now. The spirit of this, the freshness of this, the entire sort of revolutionary aspect of performing live quite like this, Please Please Me is one of those songs. She Loves You is one of those songs, right? Remember this.
Saw her standing there.
Yeah.
I
mean, it's just, they're on the list.
And the recording is from the D.C. concert that
they
did.
At U Winery.
Yes. Yep. And it's great. If you've never...
That's their first American appearance ever.
Yes. And the stage was such... It looks very rinky-dink for what they should have probably been doing. That was the first of its kind. Right. But they used to... They would rotate the drum set, you know, every few songs so that everyone would get a chance to see them, you know, face front.
To see Ringo.
Yes. So it was, you know... And this was in the midst they were trying to switch all the instruments while Paul was vamping to talk about the song.
Lovely. Just lovely. There's a story in the paper today about ambassadorships and how a lot of Donald Trump's friends are... casting about for ambassadorships. You know, you think to yourself, this is a terrible, terrible thing that maybe they're not for sale, but that they're just being given to cronies. I would imagine that happened about 95% of the time
every
administration of all time. Of all time.
Yeah.
You know.
How many of them really matter? I mean, not to highlight my stupidity, but how many of them,
answer
a handful are important.
I mean, I remember when Caroline Kennedy was appointed by Barack Obama as the ambassador to Japan, people say, what is this? What is she? You know, so this stuff, usually you're the ambassador to the British West Indies or something like that, and you give somebody a lot of money and it doesn't really matter. And I was thinking about becoming an ambassador. Like, what are the things I haven't done?
Right.
Because I'm going to, have I mentioned this on the air? I am actually going to get a doctorate.
You have not mentioned this. I am going to get a doctorate.
Okay. Binghamton University, Harvey Stenger, the president, has written me letters that say you're now Dr. K. And I have to make a speech. I'm happy to do that, a graduation speech. Not a big one, 5-6 minutes or something like that. And probably, I'll probably at that point explain to the people how we got the name for Chads. Because, I mean, I think everybody would be interested in that.
That's better than my wedding speech.
Yeah, the graduation. Well, what Liz, who censored the wedding speech, because I devoted many, many paragraphs to people I hate individually.
That's right.
Individually and why I hated them. She said, why don't you just recycle some of that? And, of course, I could recollect all the people that I hate and just add new ones there. But it's in Binghamton. The graduation ceremony is sometime in May, late May. And I'm really nervous and excited. But I'm thrilled.
So are we going to do a podcast from up there, like Super Bowl? I mean, I assume we would all go.
Everybody can go.
Right.
I mean, it's a graduation.
Where are you going to put us up?
Well, this is it. We have
I need
to find
two
rooms.
Bathrobes.
This is Binghamton. Well, bring your own, then, because it's Binghamton. You know, I'm not in...
Get some speedies.
I'm not in the most luxurious... It may be the most luxurious in Binghamton, but when I tell you, it is not particularly luxurious. But I'm very excited about that.
That's cool.
It's something I always... I don't want to say I always wanted it, but I did look around at other people, and I would say, well, why are they getting those? Why aren't I getting those? And so I did what I did with the M1 driver. I complained.
Trolled.
I complained for a tremendous amount of time. And so now I'm going to get one. It's very, very exciting for me. I'm very grateful. I would tell you I was humbled, but I'm really not. But I'm just, you know, I think it's cool. And why do I want it? I think I've gone through this before. I want it for only one reason. I want it so that I can send out on return address labels when I send in bills with checks to pay for bills, I want it to say Dr. Anthony I. Kornheiser. That's all I want. I want to be Dr. Kornheiser. And that's, you know, is there something wrong? There's nothing wrong with that, right?
There is nothing wrong with
that. So I thought about...
Why don't you call Chad's Dr. K's?
Yeah.
Because that sounds like a Chinese restaurant. And it's not a Chinese restaurant. I just, you know, that's what it sounds like to me.
Dr. K's?
To me it does. And plus...
I think more Mrs. K's Toll House.
How do I sell that to, you know, to... Well, Maury doesn't, as Michael points out, Maury doesn't know he owns a restaurant. But how do I sell that to Alan and Gary?
Well, Gary, you say you wanted a name, you got your name. Now sit down and shut up.
Right, exactly.
Alan, just do it when Alan's out of town.
Okay, so, okay, let me get to this.
He comes back, the sign's up.
You don't want to go to a restaurant with the word doctor in it.
I don't want that.
You don't want to...
So do you want to be an ambassador? Would you like to? I honestly wrote this down that I would happily be an ambassador as long as I didn't have to go to the country. Don't want to have to leave
the
country.
I would like to be an ambassador either somewhere in the Caribbean or in Ireland. I would be a great ambassador.
Oh, you'd be awesome in Ireland.
I would just have a ball.
Well, have you?
People would love me.
Have you put your name up for this?
I don't think I have an in with this administration.
Well, you could just write them a letter. You know, you just say, "I'd like to do this." Apparently. According to the story, everything is in flux. Everything is up in the air.
Well, that's true.
People are waiting.
When I was a kid, I want to say 10 or 11, fifth grade, I had a friend, Paul Burns. I've lost touch with him a long time ago. But his father was, I'm not sure if he was an ambassador, but maybe he was like a consulate or something to Antigua. And they
invited that's in the Caribbean.
Yeah, and they invited me down there, and I went down there and visited, and they were living high on the hog, man. Well, home with all sorts of butlers and
We knew the ambassador to Belgium.
Yes,
Howard Gruttman.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
You know, I've never met an ambassador as the ambassador. I mean, I've never gone and had a dinner with the ambassador. I don't think I've done that. Not even in Canada.
I was going to say Canada because
I know we were invited to the Canadian embassy, but not now. And Michael, if you could be, you're young. You might have a different look on this.
I would be a brand ambassador for golf courses.
That's what you would be?
Yeah. That sounds like a good
resort golf courses.
Top 10. In this administration, that is possible.
That could be a cabinet position.
Nigel, where would you be?
Well, I actually am an ambassador to Finland from England. So, and it's nice because the way the rhythm of the show works out over the summer when we're off, I just go and take care of everything in 2 months and then I come back.
Putting the ass in ambassador, right?
That's the motto. Exactly, yes.
So where are you?
I don't want to leave the country. I think I've often said I would happily be the president of Bulgaria if I didn't have to leave and actually live in Bulgaria. I don't really want to go anywhere. And I think that while those jobs look pretty plumish, if something happens in that country while you're the ambassador, it's just way over your head.
Yes, you have to choose your country carefully.
Yeah, it's way over your head.
I always think of the killing fields when they're like hustling, you know, the ambassador out, he's wrapped the flag.
Yeah, I've watched too many movies. Movies, and I don't know that that's... Yeah.
Well, shoot, Arab Spring, there were issues with them, like, you know,
even Argo, the Canadian ambassador.
Yes, the courage that all that took. No, I don't want that. All right, Michael, you were telling me before we started the show that we've had response to the Old People's Network. People are...
The OPN.
The OPN. A lot of good ideas as to how you can get at least 6 to 8 hours of scheduling.
All right, good. So,
that's the entire waking hour.
Yeah, it's too much. Yeah, it's too much.
So Gene, I have an idea for a show on the OPN.
Yes.
Okay. I think it's going to be called Play It Backward, and it's a quiz show. And we hold up something, a relic from our days of long ago. And we asked the millennials, what do you think this is? And the first thing I would hold up is this like little plastic disc that has a tiny little hole in the middle of it.
45?
45 adapter.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And then I'd hold up the slogan, be kind, please rewind.
Yeah.
And have them try to figure out what that referred to.
Victrola. What's Victrola?
Or
Niccolo.
A pencil sharpener.
I have a pencil sharpener.
Typewriter.
What kind of pencil sharpener?
Typewriter.
With a handle.
Corded phone.
It's on the way down to the basement in my house. We have a pencil sharpener. We don't have pencils anymore.
And how about this?
We have golf pencils.
Hold on. Yeah. Why is it on the way down to the basement? Is it you find a need to sharpen pencils?
No, just
like a landing.
Inside the wall there.
That's all.
And a copy of TV Guide.
We don't have TV Guide.
My mom, I was at her house earlier this week. God bless her. She has like the TV Guide out.
Yeah.
She still gets like the TV Guide from the paper.
Who
does that?
How about a stick shift, like three on the column? Go, okay, boys and girls, in the day, this was first, this
floor.
Was second.
You're 30 years old.
You're really making me feel great as to how I don't know any
tape.
Of these
What's
things.
What's this?
You're 30 years old. Can you ever remember turning the dial on a television
set? He was 3 when Jaromir Jagr was a rookie.
You do remember that?
Yes, we used to have a TV in the attic that you had to turn by hand.
Do you remember ever a phone where you were stuck in one spot with the phone and you couldn't walk around?
The kitchen
phone
probably had a very long cord.
The kitchen phone had a long cord up to about 8 years ago.
Yeah, but I was holding on to it because I really liked
it. You liked it.
Rabbit
you'd actually
ears.
Get one
do,
again.
Do you know what rabbit ears are?
On the TV, yes.
Okay.
Because I used to, we had a old TV that I would set up on Saturday mornings to watch X-Men. That
and,
had
and
rabbit
it,
ears.
It was an indoor antenna?
Yes, it was a little indoor antenna.
How about getting film developed? Did you ever get film developed? Like go to the drugstore and put it in an envelope and put it in a box and then it came back as pictures?
Yes. I'm not that young. You still did that up through high school.
Okay.
Everyone's staring at me now. I feel like I'm under attack.
What we don't understand. We reach a certain age and we can no longer process when these mass shifts in culture took place.
Here's one for you. I went into Stroessner's yesterday because I needed something for this painting that I'm working on.
Paint?
Painting. No, I didn't need paint. Needed this thing that I was going to
use. She probably doesn't get her paint.
It's a Stroessner.
Instead of a brush.
It's not
Rust-Oleum. Walked in and I said to the guy, where's the clothesline? He looked at me.
Hang clothes?
I said, where's the clothesline? He goes, clothesline? And another guy in the back
And that's an old people's store.
A guy in the back yells, she's looking for rope.
We keep them back by the ice boxes.
You never in your life, Michael, saw people hang washout to dry.
Not in Washington, D.C., but if you go to the beach, if you go on vacation, you still see that. And I had that at summer camp.
So it's snowing out.
Yeah, a little snow squall. It's blowing through.
Is the storm team 4x4 outside?
Where's Chuck Bell?
Where's Chuck Bell when you need him?
I mean, if it was snowing inside, you'd have a story.
Delivering ice? Did you ever have to deal with that when you were a youngster?
No.
At the beach, we did.
Age where...
How about the milkman? Did you guys, in your lifetime, have the metal carton on the front porch?
He did not.
No.
I did.
We did.
I was saying, in elementary school, I'm at the age where from 6th grade to 7th grade was the turning point where every classroom had a computer in it. My 6th grade classroom had a computer, and that was the first time it was universal to the classroom. And middle school is when we got AOL, and you had to dial up. But that was... It's hard for me to believe that is now a universal part of early education.
Computers,
phones, internet.
A printed map.
Yeah, well, I love
that. You went into the gas station and got a map of Virginia.
When I first graduated college and was working part-time then at the radio station at WTEM, I was working for Waiter on the Way, which is one of those food delivery services, and I had that huge, I want to say ADT, that wasn't it.
Yeah.
What was the company that had those?
That had the book with the spiral
huge
binding.
Map booklet, in the back of my car as I was delivering around, Rockville, Gaithersburg, Bethesda.
See, nobody gets lost anymore because people
Rand
use their phones.
Yeah, maybe it was Rand McNally.
Right.
People use their phones.
Right.
I'd still like maps.
You just call OnStar. Am I?
Well, I don't.
Turn by turn.
Yeah, I want turn by turn. I say I want turn by turn in my ear. I don't want to see it on the screen. I don't want to be distracted. I want the voice in my ear.
Right.
And then they say, yeah, sure. And then there's a couple of beeps, and I never really know if they're downloading it legitimately or not.
Where are you?
I never know that.
Now, will you make them call you Dr. Kornheiser? Will they say, Mr. Kornheiser, it's Dr.
No.
This is Dr. Kornheiser. I have an emergency. No. I need to get to 123 Main Street.
No, I wouldn't do that.
The OPN could have legs, though.
But I know for a fact that those things which I hold dear, like going to a bank and personally getting cash. That you know, those are on the way out.
Cash will be on the way out eventually.
Yeah, you can't. Nobody cares about cash.
Paying your gas bill by check.
Which is the only way I want to pay it. Speaking of which, the Washington Gas people have not gotten back to me yet. None of them has gotten back to me yet.
Stalling tactics.
I'm going to wait until Monday. If nobody gets back to me by Monday, I'm going to start phoning. You, Michael, we have phone numbers.
We have a list.
We have personal phone numbers.
We will
home
share
numbers.
Them on this air.
Yeah, I'm going to start home numbers
a list of
for the executives in like Washington Gas. I've done my part. I've been very respectful in the letter that I wrote, somewhat sarcastic, but not inflammatory.
Really?
Not inflammatory.
Dear gentlemen and lady.
Yeah, not inflammatory. And if they don't get back to me, if somebody from Washington Gas does not get back to me, then, you know, then we go to step two. That's all I'll say. We'll get out of here. We'll come back with email, and we will come back with a jingle. I am Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Wonderful.
Cool.
That's the Everly Brothers. That's Kathy's Clown. And that's Sean Morrissey in Frederick, Maryland, who writes, submitted with the assist from my brother Connor, the Morrissey Brothers, who do not hate one another and speak frequently, because Don and Phil went about 30 years without talking. Before we get into the mailbag, I want to say thanks to Washington Post movie critic Ann Hornaday for coming on with us. I also want to thank our sponsors today, Blue Apron, Stamps.com, and SeatGeek. Please support them the way they support our podcast. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. And if you do listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. Let's get to some of these things. From Alex Lau in New York City. Now that Michael Flynn is unemployed, maybe you can hire him to host trivia at Chad's on Monday night. Well, we're going to have it 7:30 next Monday night. We had a bigger crowd in episode 2 than we had in episode 1, so that's good. Gary, why is your machine on? Make sure not to believe him when he tells you that he didn't tell anyone the answers to the questions beforehand, and a suspicious group of Russians ends up winning that night. From Sarah Value.
Donna Brazil, co-host with him.
Sarah Value from Seattle, Washington, where she writes, yes, it's raining. In a past life, I worked at a call center for a regional utility company.
Uh-oh.
I can, without a doubt, confirm that hanging up on customers was a sport, complete with judging and technique by us peons answering the phones.
Oh, my God.
Your experience of being hung up on when asking for a supervisor is amateur at best. A seasoned expert would actually time the hang-up from mid-sentence with the caller. For example, caller, I hate you. I hate your company and everything you stand for. Cable company peon, I'm so happy to help me. You talked me into your line of reasoning. Let me... Good times, those. As an aside, everything we did on the phones was tracked. How long calls lasted, how many calls answered, etc. Hang-ups were tracked as well, and we didn't need to sweat it unless our hang-up ratio went above 20% of our incoming calls. True story.
Oof. That's a little disconcerting.
From S. Dutta in Cincinnati, Ohio. Mr. Tony, if I buy the Solstice, does it come with a certificate of authenticity showing it belonged to you? Am I going to get into a George Costanza
John Voight's
old car, but not really kind of situation? I don't have time to compare teeth marks on a pencil left in the car to the bite marks you'll inevitably leave on my hand. That is, if you still have teeth, Grandpa. You not only will get a... I'll sign whatever you want if you buy the car. I want to sell the car.
Don't you also have a T-shirt from Anthony Quinn?
I do not. I want to sell the car. Gus Ribeiro in Albany, New York. I have a solution for your gas company problems. Just stop paying their stupid bill for your outhouse. What are they going to do? Cut you off? I'll bet after a few months of not paying the bill, the gas company will call you and you can lie to them.
Good point. You don't use it.
I don't. From Steve Smoot in Mainville, Ohio. Thanks for adding the great songs from Littles to the end of the podcast. Now I can skip all the nonsense for the first 70 to 80 minutes and listen to the last 10 minutes of the show.
Touché.
From Bridget Snyder in Cold Spring, Texas. My husband and I eat dinner every night with my mother-in-law. Every evening between 5:30 and 6 p.m., as we walk through the door, some Hallmark movie, TV show, etc. is playing. We know too much about garden shop mysteries, antique shop mysteries, interior designer mysteries, etc. Mom-in-law likes the garden girl and is starting to like the fix-it-up girl. This was her direct quote. Question, do you prefer the Brooke Shields shows, the girl from Days of Our Lives shows, or the girl from that other show? This, I'm telling
you. Other show.
The Hallmark channel is hell.
We're hoping to simulcast on that.
It's hell.
But I can understand so why someone in your house might turn to escapist television.
Okay, it's hell. Charlie Fishel in Norfolk, Virginia. I'm curious, when you create the OPN, will you have a limited broadcast day? Maybe signing on at 5 a.m. and signing off at 9 p.m. and then playing the national anthem, followed by
nine.
A test pattern.
Sign off.
Remember
at
the national
five.
Anthem?
Five,
yeah.
From Duncan Mormon in Colorado Springs, Colorado. This is funny. Enclosed, please find a picture of me and the woman to whom I'm related by marriage in our matching Valentine's Day MeUndies. As per Nigel's instructions, the photo is in an MP3 format.
Thank you very much.
From Sizzle. It just sounds
T-Sizzle. T-Sizzle, yeah. Tara Suggs.
Loyal Millennial Little backpacking through Southeast Asia.
Pin
I enjoy him. Keeping up with the show, which drops about midnight each night. I was recently in Luang Prabang, Laos, pronounced Modal. That's funny. Checking out the King's Museum and Royal Car Collection. There was a Jeep, two 1960s Lincoln Continentals, and a 1958 Edsel Citation. I will ask the king if he's interested in bartering. One quarter of the restaurant, gently used Solstice, firstborn. The picture is attached. This is it.
Cool.
This is a white Citation.
Laotian Edsel.
That is it. One more from Andrew Vogel in Spokane, Washington. Some commercial ideas for products soon to be available at opnshop.tonycornheiser.com. Depends, dentures, typewriters, rotary phones, Werther's hard candy, consumer cellular phone services, and funeral planning services. You'll have a ton of sponsors. More ideas to come. If you're out on your bike time, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Welcome to Chad's with the best bowling alley fries in the D.C. metropolitan area.
On quiet, that voice in my head. I stare into something I'd never seen. Out from silent sound, far from between. This is not the only. It's my only way. Don't know what you hear. Traveling the mind lane, path less followed. Wish the highway were clear. This was all that I would ask you to see. Where blood and sound serve as a shadow. Questionable wisdom and skeptical rhyme, going about all that's been escaping me. Chalk it up to what you will, this twisted code of standards fails me still. I thought ways can't mend. I find myself whole when I see you again. This was all that I.